You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the Kid Counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, we are continuing in the CCPT Purism series. Last episode, we talked about the subtle ways that we can drift and how we don't even sometimes realize that we've drifted away from CCPT. And in today's episode, we are talking through why being non-directive is effective, essentially why non-directivity works. So if you think about the drifts that pull us out of the model, like we covered last week, this episode is really about why we should remain anchored in the model. So we have reasons that we might drift away. These are going to be the reasons that we remain anchored. So essentially tackling the skepticism, the criticism that many therapists and especially outsiders have about non-directivity. And really the purpose of this episode is to kind of lay out the clinical reasoning and the developmental rationale for trusting the child's lead. And if we do that, it allows us to stop defaulting to directive tools and lean more deeply into the model's power and the model's efficacy. So we are going to talk through why we trust the child's process. And here's the kicker, even when it looks like nothing is happening. That's always the hang up. Well, they're not talking. Well, they're not playing. Well, they're not coming into the playroom. Well, they're not addressing their anger. Well, they're just building with Legos for 6 weeks straight. They're just fill in the blank. Why do we trust the child's process even when it looks like nothing is happening? That's what this episode's about. So here are common statements that are made. I mean, there are variations of them, but these are kind of the overarching statements as a category that we hear pretty regularly. So CCPT is just letting a child do whatever they want or some variation thereof. Another is, but what if the child needs to be taught something? What if the child needs anger management? What if the child needs coping skills? What if the child needs breathing techniques? What if the child needs emotional vocabulary? Okay, so that's another. Another, well, how can they change? How can they heal? How can they grow? How can they fill in the verb if I don't help them make sense of what they're doing? Oh boy, that's a slippery slope if I've ever heard one. Okay, and those are kind of the top three. There are certainly more, but that's kind of a top three list all day. So when we think about those statements, well, I guess technically questions, we think about those questions, they very much come from a directive mindset. And maybe more specifically, often from therapists who were trained to, quote, fix. If you have a background in fixing problems, solving problems, addressing problems, you are the one responsible for, quote, making things better. That's where you end up with those questions in your head. And the danger of that is kids aren't broken. Kids don't need to be fixed. And so if we have any notion that we need to fix, and therefore there has to be some agenda, it's no longer child-centered, it's no longer non-directive. But non-directivity is the most effective method. So we have to be really careful with that line of thinking, especially if it comes from previous training. So let's look at some research-supported concepts that I think will help look at layers here. So the first, children know what they need to work on. We believe that at our core, or we wouldn't be CCPT. They know what they need to work on. Every bit of their play is purposeful. Nothing is random. Nothing they say is random. Nothing they do is random. No part of a play session is random. There's purpose in every second of it. When they choose not to play, it's purposeful. When they choose to cuss you out, it's purposeful. When they choose to have a lobby session, it's purposeful. when they choose to not speak a word to you for 20 sessions straight. It's purposeful. Nothing is random. When children are given the freedom and the emotional safety, they will naturally address themes, conflicts, dynamics. They will bring whatever they need to work on into their play. They know the things in their lives that need resolution. We believe that kids know their struggles. So therefore, they're going to work on them if given emotional freedom and safety within the relationship and the playroom. This is the self-actualizing tendency. That's the whole premise, right? Let's go back to Rogers. Humans are wired to self-actualize. If we believe that, we also then have to believe that children know what they need to work on. So this whole notion of what if they need to learn something? They don't need to learn anything. They will learn something. They will figure it out. They will work through it. They will solve the problem. But they don't need to learn anything. They're self-actualizing. They'll sort it out. Okay, second concept is that symbolic play accesses emotional depth. And here's what I mean by that. We know that kids aren't verbal. They cannot communicate their feelings with their words most often, but they can show them symbolically through their play. So when they lead, they are following an internal emotional map. When they lead, when they're in charge, when they get to decide what happens in the playroom, they have an internal emotional map that is guiding every step along the way. We don't see it. We're not aware of it. Dora just popped into my head. That's a digression. Anyway, I literally am singing, I'm the map. Okay, anyway, back on track. When they lead, we do not see their map, okay? But it is there. It is very accessible to them, very in their awareness. So if we interfere, or if we interrupt, or if we intervene, we interrupt their process. They are following a map. They have the ability to play, to access their emotions and the depth of them. We just need to get out of the way. They know where they're going. They know how to get there. We need to get out of their way. We serve as the therapeutic guide rails, not the driver. Another concept, insight emerges from their experience, but never from explanation. Here's what I mean. True insight. Think about a scenario that you have had, where you have had a moment of true insight about your life, your relationships, your situation. Like you've had that aha moment, that light bulb moment. It has been a moment of true insight for you. It was felt. That was an experienced, felt moment. It was not taught to you. Now, I believe sometimes God uses people to provide insight for us. I think it's important to seek wise counsel. I think that we should surround ourselves with people who are going to advise us in very healthy and appropriate and wise ways. But when you experience true insight, it might have come from something someone said to you, but that is a felt moment, not a taught one. And as children play, they are integrating their emotional experiences. They're feeling, they're emoting, they're experiencing, they're integrating all of them together. It is never through logic. It is never through interpretation. It's never through the words that we're saying. The words that we say are important, but that is not part of their experience that they're able to provide insight. That's not what's happening. The child will never be able to verbalize their growth. They're never going to be able to explain their growth. They're never going to be able to talk about their growth. They will live it because it's felt. It's experienced. So it is never about explanation. We don't ever have to teach a child, talk to a child, enlighten a child. They use their own experiences to do so. Next, the therapeutic relationship. And we've talked about this so many times, but it bears repeating. The therapeutic relationship is the change agent. CCPT is never about behavior. It's never about correcting behavior. It's never about changing behavior. It's never about behavior at all. It's about the child's ability to transform themselves through the relationship that's built. And here's why. Be with attitudes. Pop quiz. What are they? I'm sure you yelled. I'm here. I hear you. I understand. I care and I delight in you. Okay. Why? Because when the child feels accepted unconditionally, loved unconditionally, seen, heard, noticed, trusted, when they experience all those things through the relationship, they internalize that experience. And guess what it does? Y'all, this is so powerful. It reorganizes their sense of who they are. They actually are able to reorganize internally their sense of identity, their sense of worth, their sense of concept, their sense of who they are. They're able to reorganize it because of the relationship that is created. And through that relationship and the be with attitudes and them feeling accepted and loved and seen and all of those things, they internalize it and they have a new sense of who they are. Let's go back to Landreth's words. Just noticing a child is a powerful builder of self-esteem. All we do is create a relationship where they get to experience a connection with an adult unlike any other connection with any other adult they have in the world. And they actually reorganize their entire sense of who they are. It's incredible. Another concept. They are able to develop self-regulation. They're able to develop self-confidence. And they're able to develop autonomy naturally and organically. The relationship and the environment are conducive to the child actually figuring out how to do this naturally on their own. They will naturally regulate. They will naturally increase self-confidence and they will develop autonomy. Why? Well, the relationship and the environment, we need both. Their nervous system is allowed to settle. Their emotional regulation can become more consistent. They increase their confidence, their sense of who they are. They understand self-responsibility, so autonomy is strengthened. These things will naturally emerge. They don't need to be taught. They don't need to be shown. They don't need to be lectured to. You don't need a treatment plan. You don't need any of those things. Why? They'll naturally do it. The relationship and the environment affords those changes. This is the developmental repair that CCPT offers. All of those concepts, all five of those concepts, that allows for developmental repair. And it comes without instruction. We're not instructing them on anything. We're just being with them. So those are concepts that I thought was really important to discuss. We also have evidence. We have empirical data proving this. You can look at Bratton's meta-analytic research. That's your probably go-to. Ray did some meta-analytic work too. But you have meta-analytic research that shows CCPT is effective for almost all presenting concerns. In addition, so not only do we know that it works for almost every situation, we also have longitudinal studies suggesting that lasting change in behavior and regulation and family function exist long after the treatment is no longer present. That's specifically out of research. If you look at self-report from CCPTs, therapists report that even quiet or chaotic play can lead to change and resolution. So even when a child doesn't talk, I know I can't see you, but I'm imagining, raise your hand if you have seen progress and change in a child that has never uttered one word in the playroom to you. I'm raising mine. I know you're raising yours because we see it. Have you ever had a kid come in and be a frantic, chaotic, cyclone, Tasmanian devil every single session and you still see change and resolution? I'm raising my hand too. Why? Because that's anecdotal evidence that we have seen with our own eyes. And therapists also say that children move through play themes in their phases. So they have their initiation, and then they have their resistance, and then they have their work, then they have termination. We see it. So not only do we have empirical data indicating that CCPT works, meaning non-directive, we've also seen it work with our own eyes. So then that begs the question, why is this hard for us? Why do we struggle to remain non-directive? And sometimes many of us are largely non-directive, but we have that one thing that we just can't seem to let go of because of education, because of background, because of our training in a different field or a different job, because we come from schools, because we, well, whatever the scenario is, there's usually that one thing that we just can't seem to conquer and let go of that's maybe not fully directive, but a little bit directive. Why is this so hard for us? Well, I would argue it takes a lot of faith, and faith's hard to come by sometimes. It's the belief in things unseen. That's hard. So it requires faith. It also requires a lot of patience. And no one likes to pray for patience. So, I mean, that's hard in and of itself. And then it takes discipline. You concoct those three traits. You find someone that's faith, filled with faith, patient, and disciplined. Woo, they can do anything and go anywhere. Their ticket's written. Why? Because those are difficult traits to possess and maintain. So you have that trifecta. You have to have faith, patience, and discipline. That's hard. It's not impossible. Look, one of my favorite phrases is anything worth doing is not easy. So if you're committed to CCPT, I promise you, I've never once told you it's going to be easy. It's simple. But it's not easy. It's hard, but it's worthwhile. And there's pressure to get quick results, first of all. There's pressure to demonstrate and report progress. There's pressure to do something in session. That's air quoted, by the way. You can't see me air quoting, so I have to say it. Do something. You know, it makes us feel better when we can write down that, oh, we did a worksheet with them. Give me a break. But we feel pressure to do something. We have to report progress. We have to show quick results. But here's the thing. Just like a child choosing not to choose is a choice. Just like a child choosing not to play is a trackable behavior. Doing nothing as a CCPT therapist is doing something. Ponder that, as Gary Landris says. Ponder that, y'all, for real. Ponder that. Doing nothing as a child-centered play therapist is doing something. It's doing a lot of things, actually. Maybe first and foremost, it's creating space for the child to do it themselves. Whatever it is, when we do nothing, we're doing a major something. We're creating space. We're trusting them. We're being patient. We're being disciplined. We're staying out of the way. We are believing the model, and we're saying, you do it. You can do this. Wow. Like, if that doesn't light a fire, I don't know what does. We choose to do nothing because it's doing something. And trust me, doing something is easy. Doing a worksheet, doing an activity, having a discussion, creating something as a craft, looking at a feelings wheel, you fill in the blank. It's easy to do that. You know what's really hard? Choosing to do nothing because you know that it's what that child needs and because you know that it's doing something. So if you get to a point where you are questioning whether CCPT is working in general with a specific kid, with a specific scenario, with a specific diagnosis, where whatever your degree of questioning is, here are my encouragements to you. First, find the most subtle of shifts. You become a master at looking for nuanced change. Rarely is it so overt that it just hits you like a brick. Most of the time, it's a grain of sand. You have to really pay attention and really be attuned. But there will be subtle shifts. There'll be subtle shift in behavior. There'll be a subtle shift in a theme. There'll be a subtle shift in the eye contact check-ins that a child is having with you. There'll be a subtle shift in what the child says or how they say it or what words they choose. There are always, absolute on purpose, subtle shifts. You just have to be really attuned and present and attentive. So if at any point you are questioning whether it's working, challenge yourself to find a subtle shift. It will be there. I promise you. I don't make promises that I can't keep. I'm very intentional about that. I promise you, you will find a subtle shift if you look for one. And track the arc of the child's progress, not the minute by minute or session to session. This is why you have 5-week consults. If you met with a parent every week, you would have nothing meaningful to tell them. But over the course of 5 weeks, you absolutely can have meaningful dialogue about what's happening. Why? Because you're tracking the arc. You're not looking at, oh, in this last 10 minutes, something happened. Sometimes in the last 10 minutes, something happened. But more often, you have a sense of, oh my gosh, in these last 5 weeks, look at that. Oh, that, okay, that was a change. Oh, okay, that was significant. Oh, wow, that's a shift. So look at the arc, not the day-to-day. And then finally, if you are questioning whether it's working, reflect on these questions. Where am I tempted to direct? It'll give you a lot of insight into your need. Is it to fix? Is it to speed? Is it to control? Is it to teach? Is it to regulate? Is it to, that you will figure out what is driving it. Where am I tempted to direct? Start there. And then take that further. What does that say about my comfort? What does that say about my comfort in waiting? What does that say about my comfort with messiness? What does that say about my comfort with not needing to fix things? Where am I tempted to direct? And then what does it say about my comfort? That's self-awareness, self-analysis. Those are important. And then, am I trusting the child? If you're questioning the process, you need to ask yourself, am I trusting the child? Or am I trying to, quote, help, fix, hurry, work, amend, teach, instruct, whatever. What am I trying to do? Is it to center myself? Am I trying to do this in a way that centers me? It's no longer child-centered. That's therapist-centered. And that's not a model, so we can't do that. We can't be TC PTs. That's not a thing. We're child-centered. So let's kind of recap all of that. I know this has been a little bit of a long one, but this is important. Non-directivity works. We know it does. Not because it's passive, not because the child gets to do whatever they want, not because we do nothing, because it's deeply responsive to how kids grow and how kids work through stuff in their lives. It works. And doing nothing is doing something. Print that, frame that, put it up over your desk, put it on your bathroom mirror, put it on your dashboard in your car. Doing nothing is doing something. That's what we're all about. We are making space for the child to do it themselves. All right. So in the next episode, we're going to look at how we can maintain CCPT in hard moments. Maybe especially with intense behaviors and intense emotions and big stuff happening in the playroom. How do we maintain child-centeredness and non-directivity in those scenarios? So I hope that this was an encouragement to y'all. I hope that this series has been an encouragement. I know many of you have emailed me and let me know that these episodes have been really meaningful and helpful to you. So you're why I do this. I can't do this without you. I wouldn't do this without you. Thank you for your commitment, your investment. Thank you for recommending this podcast to people. Thank you for recommending the parenting podcast to people. I really can't tell you enough. I really do believe and feel like in the depth of my being, I feel that this is our podcast. This is never Brenna's show. This is our show. And so the more that this makes it to other people's ears, the better the world is for it. So really, truly, thank y'all. I love y'all so much. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.